Representative Cortell, do you want to move these?
Which bills?
We have executive action only today. You can get out Senate Bill 379 and Senate Bill 402.
Do you care which order?
No, I don't care which order we, does anybody care what order we take them in?
No.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I move, do pass, or do concur on Senate Bill 402.
402, do you remember that from yesterday?
No.
You give us a rundown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a bill clarifying personal property, or property, essentially for taking purposes. So, do we have any discussion on 402?
Good.
Representative Cotell.
Mr. Chairman, I oppose this bill and members of the committee, but just so if you can remember my credentials, which are spotty at best, but last session I carried both bills on the floor of the House, and if those of you on the Judiciary Committee might remember, that had to do with the Kelo decision in eminent domain. I've always been concerned about private property rights, and I wanted to make sure Montana statutes protected private property rights, and I also wanted to make sure that the Kelo decision was never enacted in the state of Montana, and our laws now absolutely forbid those types of decisions being here. So I just first want to say I am concerned about those issues and have always taken them into consideration. However, 402, in my humble opinion, goes way too far in labeling what is property, even that which is intellectual property, intangible property, property which is created by statute and doesn't exempt state action. Two days ago, you all voted on an estray statute, and I think I looked it up. It was 96-4. In the House, and it was 100 except for the smart and brilliant Representative Warburton voted against it, but it went through the Senate, 100% for that statute, which changes your actual property with your cow. If your cow escapes your property, before it was 30 days before it could be seized. Now we lowered it to 10 days. That's a takings. And the problem with this kind of broad statement in this bill is it would subject 20, 30, 40% of all of our legislation to possible claims of a taking, which is not the intent of the Fifth Amendment eminent domain, provision, due process clause, nor the state of Montana's due process clause. I would hope the people would go back in this interim and draft a tailored bill having to do with licenses and the property rights associated with licenses, and subject that, perhaps, to the takings provision, but not something this broad.
Any other comments? Representative Minahan.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Representative Cotell.
Representative Cotell.
And Mr. Chairman, Representative Cotell, in light of your expressed, concern about the Supreme Court's decision in the Kelo case, one of the things that I found sort of interesting and maybe even a little troubling about the bill is that Section 4 on page 2 of the bill says that this section does not affect. And if you look under subsection 2, it says power or authority of a county, city, or town to lawfully enact valid zoning, subdivision, or other land use regulations or ordinances, which are required by law or to protect essentially the police powers, public health, safety, or welfare. And so that seems to go way beyond, everyone's concern about the decision in Kelo. And not only that, it seems to me like in recent years, the one area where the public can be successful against the government in a takings case is in a zoning matter. And this excludes zoning. And so it seems to me that you're denying the one avenue for appeal to, for people to bring the takings case where they're most concerned. And I wonder what your thoughts are about that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think that is perhaps exactly right. If you remember, in one of the parts of the statute that we modified last session was the blighted area statute where, you know, where a municipality or, you know, a governmental entity creates an area that's a blighted area that then allows the takings for urban renewal. And just to refresh your memory with the Kelo decision, if you remember, that was a community under a blighted area that did a takings for a private developer and turned that over to a private developer, which is something we don't want to have happen in the state of Montana. So I think you're right. There is some question here. And yet, is every zoning regulation a takings? Absolutely not. So this just isn't finely tailored. And I would hate us, and I think I said this before, this is for Representative Moore. For Daniel Kim, someone that I like to read, talks about the ethical failure of foresight. And I've always thought one of our biggest ethical failures in the legislature is the lack of foresight, the lack of understanding that when we pass legislation, what the unintended consequences can be. And I am very fearful of this as drafted, to be quite honest.
Representative Moore.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I appreciate the clarification from the good representative from Great Falls, because I haven't seen my cow in a week, and depending upon what happens this afternoon, I'm not sure if or from whom I'm going to be able to get any milk.
True.
That said, I think the comments from Chris Tweeten have great bearing on this, the whole issue. He, of course, spoke as an opponent, and he said that the license was in place by an act of grace on the part of the legislature. This removal of license was not a taking. I think no matter how this issue is resolved or by what means, there's going to be juridical questions surrounding it. So I am not so concerned about its scope, and I'm more concerned about the property rights that are affected by it. So I'm going to support this legislation.
Question.
Yeah, I think we're prepared to vote on it, but I want to make a comment before I do that, and I'm the chairman today, so I can do that. So we'll take that, but after I make my comment, we'll take the question after. The Supreme Court, out of which this legislation arose, was a 4-3 decision. It wasn't the clear majority. I guess 4 is a majority of, out of 7, but there was some real strong dissents in it. Justice Nelson, Justice Rice, who is usually one of the more conservative justices on the Supreme Court, and then Nell Swandahl is a district court judge out of Livingston. He was sitting on the bench. I talked to Bob Lane after the, and Bob Lane, he's the attorney for the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. I talked to him after, and he testified, and I talked to him afterwards, and it was his opinion that Swandahl was really after the state in this particular case. But I'm going to support the bill because I think it needs to go back to the Supreme Court, and they need to straighten the thing out. And so I think the bill would help. And if you look at line 14 on page 2, it says by means of eminent domain or a regulatory taking. And I think the greatest concern was with a regulatory taking. Now, historically, and I've researched this several times, but it's been a while, so I don't know I can't remember the names of some of the cases. But some of the early cases said that if the regulation was so onerous that it essentially was deprived you of all value of your property, then that was cognizable, and you could recover damages for that property. And that's the law, and that was the law up to through this time. I don't entirely understand the Supreme Court's position. It's a long, long case. What was it, 140 pages? Something like that. And I kind of looked through it yesterday as we're talking here. But I think this essentially codifies what maybe the law is now with respect to regulatory taking. It has to essentially completely diminish the value of your property. I tried a couple of cases. One of the cases that was cited in that Supreme Court opinion was a case that I tried and won at the district court level, and the Supreme Court reversed it. And I never did agree with it, but I guess that's because I handled it. But anyway, I'm going to support this bill because I think the Supreme Court maybe ought to take another look at it. So that's my position. The question's been called. We'll do a roll call vote.
Representative Peterson.
Yes.
Representative Cattell.
No.
Representative Kearns.
Yes.
Representative Sands.
No.
Representative Bennett.
Yes.
Representative McDonald.
No.
Representative Moore.
Yes.
Representative Ebinger.
No.
Representative Wagner.
Yes.
Representative Becker.
No.
Representative Driscoll.
No.
Representative Regeer.
Yes.
Representative McClafferty.
No.
Representative Howard.
Yes.
Representative Blewett.
No.
Representative Warburton.
Yes.
Representative Menahan.
No.
Representative Stoker.
Yes.
By proxy.
Yes,
Mr. Chairman, the motion that Senate Bill 402 be concurred in has failed with a vote of 9-9.
That bill's tied. It'll stay here in the committee. Next bill is Senate Bill number 379.
Mr. Chairman, I move to concur Senate Bill 379.
Senate Bill number 379 has been moved to concur. Do we have any discussion? Representative Warburton.
Mr. Chairman, members, sometimes you know you get people in here and you just know there's something that you're looking for. And I just thought it said a lot when Riley Johnson from the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers said, employers have hired illegal people, had them come up and do a job and then turn themselves into INS to get them sent back so they didn't have to pay them, and they don't get a penalty. I think this bill will, you know, penalize people from doing that and help with that kind of a situation. So I'm definitely going to support it.
Representative Cotell, do you have a comment?
Oh, several. Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This could be my last chance.
What else is new?
Members of the committee, I agree that the burden and the penalty should be on the companies. There's no doubt. In fact, there's a bill in taxation committee, I believe will come out, that looks to deny a business from the right to deduct any business expenses, you know, like the payment to an illegal alien on their tax return, which is a significant disincentive. That to me sounds proportional. A fine sounds proportional to me. I think there was a reason the Chamber of Commerce was not in on this bill. There is a difference between a penalty and a penalty that where one small landscaper who might not have any assets gets none of his assets seized because they're all, you know, leaned up anyway, and somebody who has a $1 million factory gets all of his property seized. So that disturbs me, that it's disproportionate depending on who commits the act. The second thing that disturbs me, and this is a more general statement, has to do with entrepreneurial law enforcement. The idea that law enforcement can come in and seize business property with only probable cause because they know if that property is seized and the person is found guilty, they get the money. The law enforcement agency gets the money. So the conflict of interest of running in, seizing property, now understand when that property is seized, all the stuff stops. The business stops. People are laid off. And even if you were found to be innocent, your business has been frozen, you know what I mean? Your profits have gone down, people have lost their jobs. For what purpose? Again, a disproportionate response. Third, Section 1 doesn't have the exemption for nonprofit and church organizations. So therefore, simple transportation of a taxi cab or anybody else becomes problematic in terms of the conveyance. General statement. When there is a problem, and this is a major problem, why do we go so far in our legislation? It's almost as if we intentionally sabotage the solution, you know what I mean, to the problem by overreaching. In my opinion, this bill drastically overreaches in the solving of this problem.
Representative Ebinger.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is a hard bill for me to go against because I have always said that the employer is the one ultimate person you need to go after to control the hiring of undocumented aliens. Representative Cotell said it the best way. This is far too sweeping. Unintended or intended consequences will not allow me to vote for this bill. Thank you.
Any other comments? Yeah. Representative Regeer?
Thank you. Question for Representative Cotell.
Yes.
Mr. Vice Chair, Representative, top page 2, lines 3 and 4, talk about a person convicted of an offense. So there wouldn't be the taking of property or business until they've been convicted.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Cotell.
No.
Representative Regnier, please turn to page 3. And you'd have to go to new section 4. And this is, new section 3. This is the takings clause. And if you look on line 4, the provisions of 4412-103, and I can get you a copy of that. That's what we now have currently in law when we do forfeiture for drugs. And so we're putting this in the same area as forfeiture for drugs, including the seizure of conveyance that there is probable cause to believe. That is not prior to conviction. So what happens is we allow the seizure to take place prior to conviction by the law enforcement agency. As long as there was a probable cause belief, that's all it takes to have the seizure. Now, when the person is convicted, the items are permanently forfeited and sold. If they're not convicted, the items are returned. But meanwhile, what happens in the 6 to 8 month period as you're waiting trial? Because your items have been seized. And the other comment is 44-12-103 only applies to drugs, as I had pointed out. So this would now move hiring of an illegal alien parallel to using conveyances for the transportation of drugs. We don't use it for kidnapping or any other crime. Do we allow seizure? This entrepreneurial nature. So that was why I was talking about this.
Representative Regeer, I took a look at that statute, and Representative Cotell, that's a good representation. There is one other area we allow seizures, and that's cattle rustlers.
Oh.
If we have cattle rustlers, anything they use in the rustling can be forfeited.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Representative Wagner.
Mr. Chairman,
the capital
question. I have a question. I, too, share Representative Ebinger's position on this. However, I, too, think that this is an important bill, and can we strike that section at this late date? Can we strike that section?
That would be a conceptual amendment. I don't think at this late date we'll take conceptual amendments.
Okay, thank you.
I think it was heard yesterday. If anybody wanted to do that, they could have contacted Mr. Ness in the meantime. Let's see, who's next? Wagner, Warburton?
I was just going to say you could do a floor amendment if you wanted to. I'm sure you could do a floor amendment if you wanted to.
Yeah, you could try that. Representative Howard.
I just wanted to speak to Bill. Of course, I see this totally different. I like the fact that it says that, in Section 1, it says transport or move an illegal alien, conceal, harbor, or shield, encourage, or induce, violates this section. I mean, what that does is you're knowingly committing an illegal act. This bill creates a tremendous deterrent to that. We know that we have a catastrophic problem in this country, and I can tell you that I see this as a great deterrent. Once we got the news out that this is section, I can tell you that you're going to have to think twice before you start transporting and hiring illegal aliens.
Any other comments? Representative Moore.
Mr. Chairman, members of this committee, there's been several comments made about my cow, and I truly think that maybe the case of the cow is in either Mexico or Canada by now. I'd also like to go on public record regarding that milk bill later, saying that's the first time in my life I've ever been thankful that I'm lactose intolerant. Regarding this bill, drastic times call for drastic measures, and the reality is that we all have a responsibility to uphold in regard to the laws of this nation. And as such, you can't simply do nothing. So I support this bill and urge it to pass.
Representative Manahan.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think that the reason we're seeing this bill, I think it's just evidence of the federal government's inability or unwillingness to enforce federal immigration laws. And I was speaking to one of the representatives from the IBEW, not Keith Allen, who testified, but there's another person there, and he was telling me about after 9/11, I think shortly thereafter, and Mr. Kearns, Representative Kearns may know about it, but there were well over 100 illegal aliens working at the Exxon refinery in Laurel. You know, and here we're so concerned about national security, you know, the federal government's response to, you know, this catastrophe and breach of our national security. We passed the Patriot Act, which I think a lot of people genuinely have concerns about infringing on the rights of American citizens. And yet, if the government, you know, wants to deport somebody who's here illegally, I don't know. I think it's frustrating because employers are hiring people that aren't documented. They're taking jobs away from American citizens, and as a state, you know, representative, and as a prosecutor, would have to prosecute this. You know, I don't feel like we have any control whatsoever. It's entirely the federal government's responsibility. Having said that, though, it seems the bill is just, from my perspective, I think it's something that I could never really prosecute because you have to prosecute someone for the status of being an illegal alien. And as we heard from the immigration attorney, Ms. Smith, that's not a term of art anywhere in federal immigration law. And I asked her to categorize, you know, what are the different categories of people who would fall under what I would think would be an illegal alien. And she started, you know, she threw out a few examples. She said a person who is determined to be deportable from the U.S., a person who has temporary protected status, a person who has all these different categories under federal law, of which I'm not an expert by any means. But I would have to give all of this information to a jury and convict the defendant based upon a status that is determined by the feds. And without them being really clear-cut about what that is, I think it would just be an impossible element to convince 12 people, you know, that the person is guilty under the state law. And for that reason alone, I'm voting against it. Well, other reasons, but that's the president.
Other comments? Need to make one correction. The refinery at Laurel is not an Exxon refinery. It's a farmers union.
Senex.
Representative Bennett.
I don't know if I wanted to correct that or not. Mr.
Chairman, I have a question for Representative Manahan.
Representative Manahan?
I just wonder, we have all kinds of definitions in our law. Can we define illegally alien in the state statutes with the definition?
And, Mr. Chairman, Representative Bennett, if you look at the Montana pattern jury instructions, the one that are essentially approved by the Supreme Court to submit to a jury at the conclusion of a trial, those jury instructions are taken verbatim from the Montana Code annotated. And so the instruction that a jury would get as to what the definition is of an illegal alien would be the one that is set forth on Section 4 at the bottom of page 1. It says, illegal alien means a person who the United States government has determined is not lawfully present in the United States. So that would be an element of the crime that the state would have to prove. And the way you would prove that, I think, would be by bringing in federal government officials who would have to say that this person, that the federal U.S. government has determined that person to be not lawfully present in the United States.
Any other comments? Anyone? I'll make a little comment. The parole board used to have problems with illegals that were locked up in the penitentiary and when we wanted to parole them. Our experience was that we paroled them, turned them over to the federal authorities, and they just turned them loose in the state again. So, or maybe some other state or something, but they turn them loose. They wouldn't make much effort to send them back. We could many times get an agreement out of them. If we had a Canadian, for example, that they would go back to Canada, and so we wouldn't need to worry about the INS. But that was that was a problem. I think we got a problem in this country, and I guess even though there may be some imperfection in this bill, maybe we have to leave it to the court to sort out. And the prosecutors, they handle all kinds of difficult things. And have to present difficult things to the juries, and leave it up to the jury sometimes. And then, if it doesn't work out, you think it's a real problem, you appeal it to the Supreme Court, and let them work it out. We just had a bill that dealt with trying to have the Supreme Court work out something. We didn't like the way some people didn't like the way they worked it out, and so we had a bill. Representative Bennett, you have another comment?
Yeah, I just thought of something. And when I was home, Mr. Chairman, visiting my mom in the hospital, I ran into a vet that I've used, and he's from Arizona. And as we talked, and it was kind of hinted to here, but in Phoenix area, there's been 348 kidnappings. And so I just like to throw that out there. There is a huge problem, and we can either address it or we can let it continue north to the Canadian border and let them handle it, I guess. I don't know, but I think we need to do something.
And they kill them south of the border, kidnap them north and haul them back probably. Anyway, does someone want to call the question?
Question.
Okay. Question's been called. We'll take a roll call vote.
Representative Peterson.
Yes.
Representative Cattell.
No.
Representative Kearns.
Yes.
Representative Sands.
No.
Representative Bennett.
Yabba dabba doo.
Representative McDonald.
That's not a
no. Representative Moore.
Yes.
Representative Ebinger.
No.
Representative Wagner.
No.
Representative Becker.
No.
Representative Driscoll.
No.
Representative Regeer.
Yes.
Representative McClafferty.
No.
Representative Howard.
Yes.
Representative Blewett.
No.
Representative Warburton.
Yes.
Representative Menahan.
No.
Representative Stoker.
Yes, by proxy.
Mr. Chairman, the motion that Senate Bill 379 be concurred in has failed with a vote of 8 to 10.
Move to reverse and table.
Motion has been made to reverse and table Senate Bill 379. We take a voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
No.
Let's see. Okay, we got Wagner. We've got Regeer, Howard, Warburton, Peterson, and Stoker. Is there anything else that we need to bring before the committee? Anybody and then you can say, I don't know what's happening tomorrow. I guess they're talking about not having any committee meetings at all.
Just doing four.
And I don't know about Monday. Does anybody know about Monday? Does anybody know when we're going to meet for floor session on Monday?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not in the know.
Okay. Nobody's in the know. Nobody's in the circle of influence.
Very small.
Okay, the committee meeting is adjourned.
1 minute after. Thank you.